This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg swept into office on a promise to modernise the office, save taxpayers' money, and do away with cronyism. Following his arrest last year by federal agents, Greenberg now faces more than 30 charges, including sex trafficking, identity theft, stalking, bribery, wire fraud, and theft of hundreds of thousands of dollars. The investigation, with its dizzying list of indictments, has also revealed a tangled web linking Greenberg with powerful political allies across the state of Florida, including high-profile North Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. A team of reporters at the Orlando Sentinel has been untangling the threads of the story as the case unfolds. Jeff Weiner is the editor for the Orlando Sentinel's Justice and Safety team. He also is the host of the Sentinel's podcast about the Joel Greenberg case. Jeff, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jeff, this case involves everything from sex trafficking allegations to big development deals to election fraud. Where do you start with a case as big and sprawling as this?
You know, I've been trying to wrap my head around that, you know, throughout covering this. I think probably the easiest place to start is where we believe, but don't know for sure, that the federal case against Joel Greenberg started, which is that, you know, back when he was running for re-election, he is accused of having run a smear campaign against a re-election rival of his, a local teacher who works for a preparatory school, who Greenberg is accused of sending these bogus letters that accuse this teacher of all kinds of horrible abuse of a student, all of which was false. That led to Greenberg's initial arrest. And from there, the case kind of just unraveled. During a search of his house and his car, there were these fake and stolen IDs that were found, according to prosecutors. Those have been tied to an identity theft scheme. And they also seem to play some kind of a role in sex trafficking, where Greenberg is accused of having trafficked a teenage girl, potentially traveled with her for the purposes of commercial sex. And then other things also, you know, emerged out of that, including an alleged embezzlement scheme involving Bitcoin, where he was accused of, profiting more than $400,000 from his office. But the thing that brings it to the national forefront and that, you know, that expands out from this is that allegedly this investigation into sex trafficking that has already produced charges against Greenberg is also targeting Matt Gaetz, the congressman from the Panhandle, who obviously is a national political figure, somebody who is Donald Trump's one of his most vocal supporters and advocates. So that adds an entirely new level of intrigue to what for us had been a local story for a long time now.
Right. And there were lots of red flags, right, about Joel Greenberg. I mean, I'm thinking back to the start of his tenure as tax collector. He ousted the longtime tax collector there and promised to update the office and bring more accountability. But pretty much immediately, things went off the rails. Just kind of walk us through what happened at the start of his time as tax collector in Seminole County.
It almost immediately was rife with controversy. You know, as you said, he ran on a platform of ending cronyism, of ending, you know, political favors and people abusing their office, you know, giving contracts to family members, stuff like that. But he, you know, from what we've seen in a county audit and these prosecution documents, he basically almost immediately started doing exactly what he accused his predecessor of. You know, there were quickly were controversies about him buying and selling taxpayer-owned properties. There were questions about his spending. He was spending much more than his predecessor had, which meant that less tax money was being returned to the taxpayers. There was an early controversy about him allowing his employees to openly carry firearms, which is obviously not something that tax collectors typically do. He himself started wearing a badge. He also was accused by a driver of essentially conducting a traffic stop. He pulled over a woman who he said was speeding and berated her. That, you know, could have potentially gotten him charged. It was reviewed by local prosecutors who decided not to go forward. It kind of went on and on like this. There were Facebook posts that he made that were Islamophobic. You know, he would get into spats with local elected officials. And, you know, we reported years ago now that he had handed out these huge money contracts for consulting to people, including people who were in his wedding party, close friends of his, longtime allies. And a lot of this was for work that just didn't seem to exist. You know, we couldn't really find any hint of what a lot of these people were doing. You know, and that since has been borne out. So yeah, red flags, I would say, all over the place. I mean, there were at least four separate occasions that people went to the FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, with complaints against him. But none of it ever quite landed. And in fact, I would say that Greenberg was probably the favorite to be reelected until his arrest last year. But the feds went after him and have since built a humongous case against him.
Yeah, it is humongous, right? I mean, there's like something like 36 charges against him. It is pretty mind-boggling, though, to think that, as you say, he was on track to be re-elected when you list all of those things. And it's a story that I know that the Sentinel has done a lot of reporting on. You almost have to have a Greenberg desk at the Sentinel at this point. So how many more threads are you anticipating with this story?
You know, we do actually currently have a Greenberg desk at the Sentinel. I'm actually right now running several reporters who are focused primarily on this story, you know, on the Matt Gaetz elements of it, you know, the development elements of it that are branching off from it. You know, what we're finding more and more, you know, and why it's hard to say how far all of this goes, is that the Seminole County Tax Office under Greenberg seems to have just been this nexus of money, power, you know, political allies. Basically, you know, a lot of politically connected people were on Greenberg's payroll. You know, we laid out in a recent story, you know, ranging from Matt Morgan, the Longwood City Commissioner, former, supervisor of elections, Mike Hertel, Chris Dorworth's firm, Ballard, which he recently had to leave, you know, was also tied to the tax office. And then there are all these other kind of secondary allies of Greenberg and Gaetz that have been pulled into this controversy, including reports that Jason Pirozzolo, who's a local doctor, was on a trip that's being scrutinized by federal investigators. There's a lot of branches off of this. And to be clear, none of the people I'm naming other than Joel Greenberg have been charged with any crime. Every one of them who has spoken about this situation has denied any wrongdoing. And what it is that federal investigators are looking into is kind of leaking out through media reports, but we can't definitively say which of these people are targets and which are not. But what seems to be clear is that Greenberg, you know, very much prized his connections to people of influence and people of power, and was willing to put them on his payroll, was willing to, you know, use his tax collector's office resources to in some cases enrich them. And we're going to keep exploring every direction that, you know, that those connections take us in, because it seems clear that, that there was a lot going on behind the scenes here that we weren't, you know, always aware of at the time.
Yes. And when I think back to some of the reporting we did at WMFE, I invited Greenberg to talk about one of the things you mentioned earlier, which was deputizing his employees at the tax collector's office to essentially be law enforcement officers. He even had a badging ceremony for it. He wanted them to openly carry, as you mentioned. And below the surface, there's this other layer of things happening, you know, criminal and otherwise. How do you try and explain somebody like that? Like, if you thought sort of much about the motivation other than the kind of connections to money and power, and the fact that he was able to get as far as he did, and there weren't more people trying to stop this in its tracks?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say, you know, when you look at the charging documents and what Greenberg is accused of, you know, both by federal prosecutors, by a county audit, you know, by people who worked at the office at the time, it really is quite brazen, some of it. You know, the idea of, you know, for to pull out one example, you know, employees told federal authorities that they saw Greenberg reaching into the basket where, you know, customers who had surrendered driver's licenses would, you know, they'd be put into this basket. And he's accused of essentially just snatching the IDs out of there and then using his office equipment and his access to the state's driver's database to make fake IDs for himself with this. And you wonder, how does someone think that they, you know, if that's all true and that's what's been alleged, how does someone like that think that they're going to get away with that? But, you know, it does seem as though, you know, and this is something that my colleague Scott Maxwell has written a fair amount about, as though, you know, since he had not, you know, gotten into trouble for these things, and since, you know, some of these things that had come to light had not led to any consequences for him, you know, maybe it was just as simple as there not seeming like consequences could come for him. You know, it's difficult to say. I can't get into his mind, but it certainly is the case that, you know, several attempts by local officials, you know, several reviews by local law enforcement and state law enforcement just didn't produce anything in terms of, you know, hampering the behavior that had surfaced publicly. And certainly, you know, some of the financial stuff that has led to charges against Joel Greenberg, including, you know, some questions about his spending, this Bitcoin operation that he launched out of his office, is stuff that, you know, we and other news outlets, including you guys, I'm sure, have been reporting on for a very long time now. You know, but what local officials viewed as wasteful or questionable, federal authorities are now saying were crimes.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Jeff Weiner. He's the editor for the Orlando Sentinel's Justice and Safety Team. We're talking about the Joel Greenberg case. Sentinel has been doing a lot of reporting on this and has a podcast out now, hosted by Jeff, on the case. And, I mean, thinking about some of the allegations, there was a former employee of the tax collector's office who tipped off authorities to this to the allegation that Greenberg was setting up essentially a cryptocurrency scam to hold the office for ransom for money. And, I mean, on the face of it, it's kind of bizarre that that didn't go further. But as you're saying, the trail kind of went cold. There was an inquiry, but it just didn't go any further than that. It is quite mind-boggling now when you see this kind of avalanche of charges against him.
Yeah, I mean, there were some even stranger things. You know, I mean, one of the employees who came out, you know, came publicly forward against Joel Greenberg and spoke to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement well before the criminal case against him had emerged, claimed that Greenberg had basically offered to pay him in Bitcoin in order for him to hack into the Seminole County government servers and basically, you know, seize access, you know, during a spat that he was having with some of the local elected officials there. You know, basically had been repeatedly asking this employee about whether he'd be willing to hack into the county servers and exchange. Greenberg said that he was going to, I think the phrase that he used was tumble cryptocurrency, basically direct a large amount of cryptocurrency into this guy's possession through a series of accounts in order to conceal its origin. You know, the FDLE doesn't seem to have done a ton of work on pursuing that allegation at the time. You know, I think they viewed it as kind of a he said, you know, said that basically that there wasn't an opportunity to at that point to get the employee, you know, wired and get Greenberg talking about this. So they didn't think that they could pursue it. But the Bitcoin, you know, situation itself, you know, was very much an active and ongoing thing that potentially could have been explored. You know, federal prosecutors say that what Greenberg was doing, you know, he had indicated that this Bitcoin company that he launched was something that was going to, you know, bring the tax collector's office into like the very modern realm. It was going to, not only was it going to help the office make money and bring in revenue, but it also was going to be a way that they were going to, you know, store customers' identifying information in the future. It was the wave of the future. It was going to be this huge boon to the office. And that's something that he always said when he was promoting these, you know, these questionable actions, was that it was all going to benefit the office. But according to federal authorities, it benefited him. You know, he was moving money from the tax collector's office into accounts, you know, allegedly that he controlled, using it to buy and sell cryptocurrency, using it to buy and sell equipment to mine cryptocurrency. And all of this was at, you know, according to the federal authorities, a great profit to him, you know, and that certainly is a situation that was right out there in the open. You know, there had been plenty of reporting from us and others about the fact that he was doing this kind of Bitcoin scheme. Not necessarily that he was profiting from it, but that he, you know, had launched this company, had set up this operation in the tax collector's office that was mining Bitcoin. And, you know, it raised a lot of eyebrows, but it's not clear that before the federal authorities got involved, that there was much more than that occurred.
And then just days after his arrest on the initial charges, it seems that he was back at it again with an attempt, or allegedly so, to defraud the federal government in terms of obtaining loans for a business that didn't actually exist. Explain that a little bit if you could.
Yeah, I mean, it's really baffling when you read the you know, as we were talking about earlier, the notion of like, how does somebody think they could get away with this? But, you know, according to federal authorities, in the last indictment that was filed against Greenberg, which was the fourth one so far, they alleged that he basically, within days of appearing in federal court on stalking charges, you know, being released by a judge, told that if he committed any new crimes while he was awaiting trial, that he would face, you know, extremely severe penalties potentially. They say that Greenberg basically applied for and was granted approval for these loans through a federal program created to assist small businesses that were hurt by the COVID-19 pandemic. For essentially companies that had been defunct, ones that he had created years ago that had fallen into inactivity and that he reactivated days after his initial arrest. And he's accused of not only of obtaining loans under false pretenses, including by claiming that these businesses had revenues and employees that they didn't have and that weren't actually impacted by the pandemic. But he's also accused of bribing an official in the federal government in order to obtain those loans, basically having somebody on the inside who he paid several thousand dollars to in order to have that person help him get these loans approved. So, you know, that brings a bunch of new charges against Greenberg. And if it's true and if it's proven, it could tack on a lot of years to his sentence because, you know, there are additional penalties for, as the judge warned him when he was arrested, for committing new crimes when you're out on release, you know, and awaiting trial in a federal case. So, really just, you know, among the stuff that he's been accused of, it would be, you know, definitely perhaps the most brazen if true.
Right. And it does raise questions, of course, you know, as you say, if the allegations are proven and he's convicted of those, then he will have been caught and prosecuted for them. But in the meantime, he was still able to essentially walk away with $400,000 or so of money from the federal government. So the question it begs is, what kind of oversight was there on these loans and what else has been going on?
Yeah, I mean, it does, you know, we haven't delved super deep into the oversight that is involved with that program, but it obviously does not speak well to it. You know, the idea that, one government employee and, you know, a man who's already under indictment, you know, and in fact, who had to indicate, you know, in his paperwork that he was not under indictment, you know, apparently there was not a cross-check done there because the money was delivered into accounts. So, it did go through, according to prosecutors. So Joel Greenberg is sitting in the Orange County Jail right now. The reason that he's sitting there is not because of the SBA loan, alleged fraud. It's not because of the alleged embezzlement of his office. The reason that he is no longer on release is that he allegedly violated the terms of his conditional release by leaving town, driving to South Florida to try to find his wife who had gone down there, saying that she needed a break from him and from all of what we're talking about, and basically drove down to Jupiter and was down there. And then one of his family members called the police and they came out, determined that he was on release and didn't even arrest him then. He was allowed to return to Central Florida because they weren't able to get in touch with his, basically his probation officer, his release officer, and confirm that he wasn't allowed to be down there in South Florida. Though eventually they confirmed that he had violated his bond terms. He was taken back into custody. That's why he's in jail as we're speaking today. But it just goes to show that, you know, yet again, another example of, you know, according to authorities, Greenberg just kind of brazenly, you know, violating his, you know, a legal constraint against him in a way that you would think would be pretty easy to detect and, you know, being caught in the act.
It's not normally a position you associate with the kinds of things that Joel Greenberg's been accused of. It's typically a position that doesn't really attract a lot of attention, right? So it's kind of unusual for somebody holding this office to be accused of this just smorgasbord of crimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's typically a very, you know, I would go so well, I know that Joel Greenberg, for example, you know, over the years had told our reporters that he was bored of it, you know, that he found the office and the role that the taxpayers had put him in boring. And it typically is not a very exciting position. I mean, you're basically, you know, it's an office that issues driver's licenses and tag renewals and, you know, collects taxes. You know, any excess revenue it brings in is supposed to be returned to the county. It's not a sexy position, but I think it's a good reminder, honestly, for me, for us, for people who are watchdogs over these things, that there is no, you know, local elected office or local government agency that doesn't need to be watched. You know, I mean, it goes to show that a position that we don't typically think needs a lot of attention or a lot of oversight very much can be if it's, you know, being overseen by the wrong person, you know, and the bottom line is that, you know, a tax collector most of the time is not a very interesting local elected official, not usually a position that generates a lot of headlines or that generates a lot of controversy, but it is somebody who has a lot of control over a lot of money. And, you know, this goes to show what can happen, you know, when allegedly somebody who is corrupt comes into control of that money. So I think that it's a good lesson for everyone, for the public, for journalists, for regulators to remember that, you know, just because a position is not, you know, headline grabbing or, you know, super interesting, and just because its role, you know, when things are functioning correctly, is somewhat monotonous, you know, there is always the potential for something else to be going on.
Well, Jeff Weiner is the editor for the Orlando Sentinel's Justice and Safety Team. He's also the host of the Sentinel's podcast about the Joel Greenberg case. You can find that over at orlandosentinel.com. Jeff, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Still to come on Intersection, Fringe returns after the pandemic. WMFE's Clarissa Moon takes a look at what's changed for the long-running theatre festival, this year celebrating its 30th anniversary. That's when we return.